have a simple message today, but it's not for everyone. So who's it for? Well, it's for what God calls the righteous. Now, as soon as I say that, I think most of us would say, oh, well, I might as well go home. and there should be a little bit of humility in us, but I'm not talking about how we see ourselves. I want to talk to you about who God calls the righteous. So how do you know? Well, I'm going to share the message. I'm going to preach the entire morning from one chapter in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. I would encourage you, if you are struggling, if you are hurting, if you feel alone, the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms is a wonderful place to go. I find most of the Psalms are not uplifting. Most of the Psalms are usually about David venting, wanting to kill somebody. So, but this is a Psalm that is very, very uplifting for those that are hurting. So who are the righteous? Well, let's just begin verse number 17 and notice the righteous cry. The righteous cry. Have you cried this year? Have you wept this year? Have you cried out? Has your heart cried out? The verse actually talks about crying out, and I'll go into this in more detail, but has that been something for you in 2020? Has that been the case for you in November of this year? Has that been the case today? The righteous cry. You know, now for believers, we know that believers, there's something within us that when we're hurting, we cry out to God. I don't know who unbelievers cry out to. Right. You know, this tragedy in Wisconsin, for instance, where this person plowed into a parade and killed so many people, and there's so many hurting families, and people are crying out to the government to do something. People are crying out to the prosecution to do something. But none of those things are going to heal a heart. Right. But God says, I call those who cry out. In fact, we'll see in a minute, to him. They're righteous. I'll come back to that. So why do the righteous cry? Well, it continues on and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David writes this in verse number 19. Notice, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, have you ever noticed, child of God, that you rarely have one bad issue come into your life all by itself? Right. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that Satan's MO is not to hit you with one thing? Because you know what? You are, even a moderate believer in Jesus Christ can handle one thing pretty easy. Yes? But boy, that's not his MO, is it? It's multiple things. And that's what David said. He said, look, part of being one of God's children, part of believing in God means there's going to be a lot of afflictions come in our lives. And there are many of you, and I'm looking at faces right now, and I'm seeing, and you are faced with multiple afflictions right now, multiple hurts. You know, that word afflictions is actually the Hebrew word ra, which means this. It means a hurt caused by evil. This is very, very important. There's a difference between hurts that come at us, things that hurt us because it had an evil source, versus hurts that come at us that we did to ourselves, yeah. Right? Look, we cause ourselves some hurt sometimes, right? Yeah. We do things that we know are going to end badly. We do things that we know are going to hurt us. You know, for example, we understand there's a biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Yeah. Yes? You reap what you sow. That means if I am unkind to Tom, I can expect somebody to be unkind to me. God said that's not righteous. I'm not talking about things that I do. When I am hurtful to somebody, And then somebody is hurtful to me. No, that is all on me. That is something that I brought on myself. That's not evil bringing it up on me. But wait, but watch. But the thing that caused me to be hurtful to Tom might have been something that came at me from a source of evil. You follow me? In other words, someone came and hurt me. Somebody that I, maybe it's a part of my family, maybe it's a part of somebody that I know. Something came at me. An evil source prompted something that came and hurt me. And in that moment, God says, I call you righteous. There's a moment of righteousness where God looks at us and says, you have been hurt and you cry out to me. But if I turn and pass that on to Tom, I miss out on that moment of righteousness. Are you with me? Yes. See, there's a difference between those two things. And God says, I want you, in fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. So if somebody has been hurtful to me and I pass it on, then I have a choice. Because God says, in that moment, there's something that I want for you. Watch verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Watch. So if somebody has come and they have hurt me, if somebody has come and they've hurt you, you have a moment, a special, beautiful moment with your Father. There is a moment, that is a moment in your life where God's eyes are on you. Sherry, if somebody comes and they hurt you, they post something about you, they say something about you, they do something to hurt you, do something to hurt your family, you are entering into this special moment with your Father where he says, my eyes are on you right now. And when I see you now, I see you as righteous. I want to encourage everyone this morning in that special, beautiful moment that you have with your Father when some evil has prompted some hurt to come into your life. I want to encourage you to stay righteous. Embrace that moment because God says, my eyes are on you right now. Julie, somebody has done something terrible to you, something terrible to your family, and God says, my eyes are on you and I am waiting for you to call out to me.
Amen.
But not somebody else. And I certainly don't want you to pass along your hurt to someone else, because if you pass along your hurt to someone else, you have taken away that righteous status you have with God in that moment. And you have become the evil source. God, in essence, has to take his righteous view of you and move that on to someone else who you've hurt. And so God is saying, look, I want you to understand, you know, when somebody hurts you for no reason, in that moment, you've got this beautiful time with God. You see, we all need to understand a couple of truths here. We need to understand there is no new pain in the world. Please know this. All the pain is a finite amount. All the pain that's in the world right now is all the pain that's always been in the world. It's a finite amount. All we do is recycle it. Yes. We recycle pain. When pain comes into my life, so oftentimes, what is my gut reaction? My reaction, the natural part of me wants to recycle that because I don't want it. Right? So we take it out on somebody else. Isn't this what happens? You go to work, somebody treats you badly, your boss treats you unjustly, what do? We go home, we treat our families unjustly. What have we done? We've taken the pain that we felt and we've recycled it to someone else. There's no new pain in the world because there's no new evil in the world. Understand this. The evil that exists in the world today is also a finite amount. And if evil comes into my life, I have to choose what I'm going to do with that. That evil caused pain into my life. And if I recycle that, if I recycle the pain that comes with it, I'm also recycling the evil. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. See, if somebody hurts me and I didn't deserve it, I didn't do anything to get it. If in that moment I will look to my Father and cry out, as he said, he sees me as righteous. But if I recycle that hurt and I recycle that pain, I am passing that on to somebody else. The saddest and probably most serious example of recycling pain is suicide. Many people in this room understand that. We've seen suicide this year. So what is suicide? Suicide does not end pain, does it? It transfers it. It transfers it. Can I just say to all of you, please, 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 know this. Know this. If those thoughts are in your head right now, and there are some that it is, please know this. You are so loved by your Father, but also by the people sitting around you.
Amen.
Am I right about that?
Yes.
Jeff, do we love the people that are struggling with emotional things, and we don't want them to commit suicide, do we? And we will hurt if they do. Please don't consider that an option. Please don't recycle that pain you're in. Let us help you bear that pain. Let us help you hold that pain up. But please don't think that it will end with your suicide, because it won't. That's the highest example of that. But everything that we do is this way. If we recycle pain, we're just passing it on to somebody else. So this morning, I want to speak to those of you that are hurting in this season of your life. You know, this is a season of life for some that brings about a lot of hurts. Maybe you're at a season of life where you have lost many, many loved ones to death. You're at a season of life where some of the, maybe it's a young person, they've come up, you know, childhood sort of, we sort of go through childhood oftentimes with in a fog, and then young adults sort of wake up one day and now suddenly they have to deal with all the things that happened to them as a child. So it's a season of life that is causing so much pain. Maybe it's an older person. The season of life you're in means you've lost some people that you love. Maybe it's the season of year. It's the season of this year that is bringing the pain. But whatever it is, I want to speak to those that are hurting. I want to challenge you to stay righteous. I want to challenge you to embrace this moment of righteousness that you share with your Father, because he... Well, let's just go back. Let's just let God tell us. So let's go back now. Why should we embrace that? Why should we, when this evil comes into our lives, why should we cry out to God instead of trying to pass that pain along to somebody else? Go back to verse number 17. Let's read the whole verse now. Notice he said, the righteous cry out and the Lord does what? The Lord hears. You know, God can hear the heart that cries even if it doesn't come out of the mouth. God hears the broken, God hears the crying out of the heart. God hears the mother's cry inside when something has happened to one of her children. God hears the cries of a widow or a widower. God hears the cries of a child who's lost a parent. God hears the cries of those who the world has treated them unjustly, and there's something wrong or broken in the world and it's caused pain. God hears those cries. He says, God hears. Wait, and delivers them out of all their troubles. But hold on. Notice it's when the righteous cry out. And he already said, the righteous are those that have been hurt because evil has come in and they cry out in that moment. Once, if we choose to pass that on, then we lose out on this. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry, God hears. God hears you. You will, child of God, you will never cry alone. You will never cry alone. You will never cry out to your Father in those moments and he does not hear you. God hears you. I'm looking at a lot of very hurt faces this morning, and I hope you find comfort knowing that it may not seem like God is listening, but God is listening. His eyes are on you. His eyes are watching. He's watching. He's listening. He wants to hear your cries. What he does not want to hear is us crying out at someone else, because he wants to view us in as righteous in that moment. And it says then that he will deliver us from all of our troubles. God hears you when you've been hurt by words. You have God's eyes on him. God wants you to cry out to him, not lash out at someone else. And I know I'm saying this over and over again, but look, this is where we live, isn't it? A hurting heart wants to stop hurting. Mm-hmm. And there's something in our nature that thinks if I can transfer this pain that I feel back to the person who hurt me, I'll feel better. Do you ever feel better? No. We don't feel better. And here's the sad part. When somebody has been prompted by an evil source to bring hurt into your life, to say something to you, to do something to you, and our natural response is we want to lash back out at that person. We think that's balancing out the scales, and God says, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you would embrace the fact that they have wronged you, because my eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to you cry out. And in that moment, I see you as righteous. I don't know about you. I don't feel much in my life like my actions merit God looking at me as righteous. So the best opportunity I have for God to see me as righteous is when somebody wrongs me and I just cry out to him. You with me? It's a beautiful moment between you and your Father. A special moment between you and your Father. And he looks down and he says, my child has been wronged. And that's very, very special. In fact, notice back to verse 17. We'll read the whole verse number 17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. But notice verse number 18. Notice what it says in verse number 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. a broken heart. You know, it's kind of this way. You know, we know that God never leaves us, right? We know the Bible says God will never leave you nor forsake you. But you know what happens when we're brokenhearted? You know what happens when evil comes into your life? Somebody has hurt you, and it wasn't something that you did to yourself. It was something that somebody did to you. God says, I want to be near to those that are broken heart. I'm always there, but God sort of scoots a little closer. He sort of scoots over next to you. Do you understand? That's why we do it, right? Mm-hmm. What happens? If Diane is hurting right now, if Diane shares that there's a pain in her life, what do you think Sherry's going to do? What are you going to do, Sherry? She's going to scoot right over there. She's going to throw that coat on the floor. She's going to scoot right over there. She's going to put her arm around Diane. Why? Because there's something in the child of God that says, get near to those that are brokenhearted. And this is why, because God wants to be near. He wants to scoot in closer. But if we recycle the pain, if we take what somebody has done to us and pass it on to somebody else, in essence, we push God away. And you know why? Because he's got to scoot next to that person that we hurt. And we're not righteous anymore. I hope this is making sense to you. God wants to be there for us. 2021 has been a very heartbreaking year. I felt like in the middle of this week that God was leading me toward this message, even before Bob Cox passed away, before I knew that was going to be happening. But you know, this has been a very, very hard year. I have officiated 13 funerals in 2021. 7 and 8 weeks. Just from September through the beginning of this month. It's been a very, very hard year for many, many people. We have, I believe, several people. Debbie Barnhart's cancer is back. That's heartbreak for us, isn't it? Yes. Her family, and this is just months after her granddaughters had to say goodbye to their mother. The world has no mercy. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Satan has no mercy. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. This is what, look, the righteous are crying, yes? The righteous are crying. Many of you, you're crying. If you're not crying on the outside, you're crying on the inside. Verse number 19, notice. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. God does not always deliver us the way we want him to, does he? But he delivers us. God delivers people from pain, sometimes through death. But sometimes God delivers people from pain because we take it to him and he says, you know what, I will make this turn out better for you than you can ever even imagine. And there could be many testimonies to that effect. But God requires us to do one thing, and that is to cry out to him and not cry at someone else. Not take our pain and direct it towards someone else. You know, the Lord is a father to those who feel alone. He avenges those who are treated unjustly if they don't avenge themselves. God waits for those whose pain is leading them toward death, and God gives a promise to all of us of a reunion to those that we do lose. Yes? God keeps his promises. God is ready to catch your tears this morning. Just don't pass the pain along. I think that is sufficient. Can I just encourage you this morning? I want to encourage all the hurting this morning. Look at your pain differently this morning. Look at that thing that came into your life, and while you're humanity, while your natural man, the Bible calls it, is trying to convince us to somehow lash out, to get revenge, to speak that word, to post something right back, to correct this injustice. These people are saying things they shouldn't say, doing things they shouldn't say. Can we all just take a pause and say, wait a minute. I am in a very special moment with my Father, who right now, while it's just him and me, he sees me as righteous. He sees me as righteous. Wouldn't you love to have a righteous moment with God your Father? Amen. This is how we do it. We cry out to him. Righteous cry. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let's stay righteous. Take that pain to him and him alone. Now, before I close, there are many who would say, Pastor, it's too late. I've already lashed back out. I've already taken the pain that that person did to me, and I even maybe this weekend, is there anything that I can do? Is there anything that I can do to change that? Because I've already blown what you're talking about this morning. Well, let me show you. Let's go back to verse number 18 and notice what God said. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, but watch this second part, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Do you know what a contrite spirit is? I'm sorry. You regret it. A contrite spirit is one whose spirit is broken. It's where we say, you know what? This person brought pain into my life, and all I did was pass it along to somebody else. And we go to that person, and we go to God and say, I regret that. Well, that didn't go over very well. Oh, you were fine when you just had to take it to God. Right? Yeah, we're fine when we take it. But what is so hard about going to somebody and saying, you know what? Tom, when I did that to you, I was hurting so bad inside, and I'm sorry. I regret that. I wish I hadn't done that to you. You didn't deserve that. God says, that is a contrite spirit, and he said, I will restore you to righteousness. Folks, it's not that hard to say you're sorry. It's really not.
That's right.
It shouldn't be hard to say, I was wrong. Josh, how many times you heard me say that over the years? Those of you that have been with me from the beginning of this church, I've said I was wrong about so many things. And now your expectations are so low, I'm good. It's all good. It's not hard. It's not hard. And usually, when one person goes first, when one person goes first, when I say, Tom, I'm sorry, I was wrong, that was unfair, it's usually a domino effect, and it's easier for everybody else to do the same.
Right.
And this is the kind of church where that is what we celebrate.
Yes.
We celebrate repentance, change,
yes,
honesty.
Mm-hmm.
We don't condemn anything but pride,
right,
and meanness and the Wolverines. I love you all so much. I want you to be happy. And I want you to be able to stand before God in those beautiful moments and have him look at you as righteous. I want him to see me that way.